community members. Before we get started, I want to give the citizen report procedures. So anyone in the audience here may address the LCAB on any topic relevant to the commission. Members of the public will be given an opportunity to speak to the item during the regular agenda portion of the meeting before LCAB acts upon it. If the topic is a staff report item, then members of the public should address the LCAB during this portion of the meeting. No public comment is accepted during staff report portion of the meeting. Anyone making comment during any portion of tonight's or this afternoon's meeting should identify himself or herself to be recognized by the LCAB chairman, who's me. Please do not interrupt other speakers. Side conversations should be moved outside the service center boardroom, and please limit comments to no more than 3 minutes. Any questions about that? All right. Then we'll call the meeting to order and start with the approval of minutes from last session. Can I get a motion?
Move to approve the July 10th meeting minutes.
I'll second that.
Second. All in favor? Okay, passes anonymously, looks like. All right. So we're going to start with the regular agenda. The first one is the interfund loan from the Power Enterprise Fund to the Municipal Fiber Enterprise Fund for Municipal Fiber Services. Joyce Robinson is going to speak to us about that, give us a little bit of history on why that's necessary. It started back in February of 2018.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm Joyce Robinson, and Jim had a prior obligation, so I'm his fill-in. So, Jim. So I want to give you a little bit of background on this. So in February of 2018, the City Council approved a supplemental budget and appropriation for power for $2.5 million. That $2.5 million investment was used to evaluate whether consideration should be given to establish a City of Loveland fiber utility. City Council voted on November 6, 2018 to establish that municipal fiber utility. The intent from that time when the utility was approved was to pay power back the $2.5 million. So this very first ordinance, what it does is it actually establishes the loan between municipal fiber and power to pay back the $2.5 million. So that's the first ordinance, the $2.5 million. And then on the second and third, those are sort of housekeeping items. So of the $2.5 million, 1183128 was spent in 2018, and the remainder, which is the 1316872, was rolled over into 2019, and that's going to be expended in 2019. So those two items together will be the $2.5 million. So what's going to happen is that 1316872 is going to be deappropriated from power and reappropriated in fiber, so that all the expenditures are in the proper fund. And that's really what the second and third one ordinances are. Any questions about? Yes.
So I guess we want to get this straight. So this is informational for us?
This is informational. It has to be approved by City Council.
I was going to say, yes. That, yeah, it's appropriate funds, so it's
right, exactly
council
right.
Authority.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
We just are making a recommendation.
Yes, you're making a recommendation.
And let me make sure I understand this.
Okay.
This $2.5 million was already the amount that was approved by council for that original design build study.
Yes.
And this really, I mean, from the way I read it, it's all housekeeping for making sure that that $2.5 million is correctly accounted for and that there's records that this has to be repaid to power and when it's going to be spent by the broadband.
Yes. Yes, because originally, if they had approved the utility, then power would have just eaten that.
Just eaten that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yes.
Since there were two appropriation partners in this fall, is this also going to, are you also seeking a recommendation from the Utilities Commission?
No, we are not.
Okay. That's strange.
That is strange, now that you say that.
Okay. Because this is only one side, okay, that it would seem to me that, especially since they're getting a benefit, okay, in their budget, even though the appropriation is gone and it's being assumed and everybody knew it. Do we need to do that?
We were looking on this as more of an administrative matter. And mm-hmm. and we nearly didn't think it was necessary to bring it. So we just thought that this was the more applicable board and or commission to bring it to. So yeah, you're right. It's both sides of that fence, but we felt that this was the more appropriate venue to bring it to.
Because this is, they meet next Wednesday, don't
they? Meet next Wednesday, and this is scheduled for Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Right.
Okay.
Perfect.
And Jim is very anxious to get this, make sure we get all the buckets lined up in the right places.
My only recommendation is I don't want to be stepping on any feet in case of another commission or board. So all I would say is that our recommendation show, okay, that we may be doing this unilaterally, okay, but it's not as though we're doing something that is in opposition. Okay?
No, this is very much just administrative housekeeping,
okay.
Making sure the books balance, that's all.
Okay.
And that I don't go to jail.
And it is to the power. It won't be an expense, it is a revenue to the power.
Right.
Rather than an expense.
Because it's already been.
Yeah.
Well, and I would just add that it seems, in having followed Jim for a couple of years, it achieves a higher priority to clarify and put in the record who's making the expenditure.
Right.
And so even though City Council may have approved this within the Enterprise Fund, that was prior to the Municipal Power Fund, and so now that the funds are actually going to be reserved and dispersed against fiber, this kind of closes that process book. And I think just a courtesy mention to Utilities Commission
we will certainly
is
do
important,
that.
Is appropriate. But
we will certainly do that.
Yeah, but for transparency and accountability of where the funds are going to be spent,
I have no concern about that. It was procedural, because I'm not as up to speed on this as some of you guys are.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, and I think that Utilities Commission would go, oh, that's off our plate. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
$2.5 million.
Yeah, well.
Yes. And just to reiterate, it was always the intention. This is just really making it formal through the ordinance process that I think we kind of missed it a little bit last year when we were going through all the other parts and pieces and making sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's on this piece to make sure that the each bond is properly accounted for.
That's good. All right. Other questions? Clarifications? Okay. I think we should vote all three separately then. So can I get a motion that LCAB recommend that the City Council approval of an interfund loan between the Power and Enterprise Fund and the Municipal Fiber Enterprise Fund in keeping with the original intent of the supplemental budget appropriation approved by Council in February of 2018.
So moved.
Second?
I second.
10 seconds. All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The second one, can I get a motion that LCAB make a recommendation to City Council to approve a supplemental budget and deappropriation for the Power Enterprise Fund as a housekeeping measure in line with the motion we just passed.
Aye.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And can I get a motion that LCAB recommend to City Council approval of a supplemental budget and appropriation for the Municipal Fiber Enterprise Fund that corresponds with the deappropriation recommendation just passed in the previous motion?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Passes. Thank you very much. Well done. Working on it. Okay. So, next agenda item is staff reports. We've got Kim Reeves giving us a construction RFP update.
Hello. So I'm pretty excited. So we have our mandatory pre-bid conference tomorrow for all the bidders for the RFP. Just backing up a little bit, the memo was attached in your packet that Brianna had sent out July 19th. I explaining that we cut ties with their communications, not being able to come to an agreement on the contract. So we assembled a pretty comprehensive RFP, ended up being about 315 pages, I think. So we have lots of information. And we're further along in the process, so we have things pretty well dialed in on what we're going to need. So I think it was a very good package to put out. And as of today, we had about 71 different companies download the plans, which, you know, some of those are you know, just for informational purposes. But I actually moved the meeting tomorrow over to Public Works if anybody wants to come over at 1 p.m. because I think we're going to have a really big turnout of contractors. So I'm excited to see what we'll get in. I've got quite a few good questions so far, and our deadline is the 22nd of August for questions, so I foresee that we'll have quite a bit more content. And closes on September the 5th.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody has any questions specifically about the RFP process or what we're expecting.
Are you shopping for a general?
Yeah, so it'll be the construction contractor for everything except for from the curb to the home. So the premise contractor, we're still working on that on the side. But yeah, it'll be basically the general, and we're assuming that they will have subs just for the construction.
And then you're going to supply the materials?
Correct. Yep. We have that all in process right now. So that's what I was saying. We're further along in it, and we know kind of how we want everything to work now. So we're confident that we're very clear.
I imagine when Bear thought they were having the contract, they were probably starting to plan labor for the certain months and stuff like that. Are there any concerns with the new people, how soon they'll be able to ramp up for the install, or is that something that they can really turn around really quick from what you've been hearing?
Yeah, so there's some different things that go into that. Bear being out of Kansas City, they were trying to mobilize into the state, but we've actually had lots of local contractors are interested in this, so I think that's kind of going to dictate what happens there, is if the local ones are, if one of them is the winning bidder, then, you know, there won't be trying to find a yard and a warehouse and things like that. So that's why I'm pretty optimistic about who we have coming to the table. But I think that that's going to, that time will not be as large as if we have an out-of-state client. We do have some of those, though.
So behind Kim on the screen, they're just all the different contracts that we're working on or have been working on over the course and kind of where they are in the process. We have a lot that's been moving forward as, you know, as we, over the last several months. Everything is really on schedule except this delay with the construction contractor, which will set us back a little bit, but because we're continuing to move forward on all these other parts and pieces, it's not basically starting from scratch like we would be, we were 6 months ago. So it's not, you know, it's not quite the same place that we were at before. And that's helpful.
What was specifically a hang-up that caused the negotiations to break down before?
It was the overall pricing. We just couldn't come to you know, an agreement on the pricing. We broke it down very specifically, and they just weren't able to get the price where we think it should be. So there was definitely a lot of work from Bear's side, I'll give them that, and they tried extremely hard, and just at the end of the day felt like it wasn't a good fit for us or for them.
So was the price they came back with not in the realm of what they agreed to initially?
Well, it's a little different just because initially we thought that the materials would be part of that, but it turned out that we've morphed into something different by removing the materials, which is definitely a good way to go so that we can manage that piece separately. So that's where I think some of the
they might have been planning profit on the materials that then they wanted. Yeah. Makes sense.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No. Part of the other issue is that when we had originally selected them, this was over a year ago, we still didn't have clarity from our city council on whether or not we would move forward. So we were selecting them on qualifications. We did include pricing as part of the evaluation, but there really wasn't a design that was done that was part of what they were supposed to be providing through their partnership with Nokia. So it was fairly generalized. I mean, they did provide us pricing before the business plan was done. based on a high-level design, which was what was agreed to. But we had not signed a contract at that point until, obviously, we had our bond funding, and that was much later in the year. So there was no, there's nothing that held them to that price.
Gotcha.
Is there anything fundamentally different about these fiber drops than a lot of other line drops that contractors would do in town, or is it pretty much that the experience someone carries into things over the years is about the same?
Yeah, there's nothing out of the norm besides, you know, I guess we're trying to use some more of the existing conduit that we have around town, so we've identified that. But other than that, I mean, it's typical install, so I don't think there's anything.
It's a wide range of people.
Yeah, that's why I feel pretty confident in the people that have asked a lot of questions already, and you know, we'll be attending that meeting tomorrow. I think we'll have a pretty good turnout.
We had 12 respondents during the feasibility part study, so over a year ago, and you know, and that was still very preliminary tentative plans, and we had very good respondents then as well. So now that we have, you know, our funding in place and a thorough design, and I mean all these other pieces that are lined up to provide them with a much clearer understanding of what they're signing on to, we will have very good respondents again.
Has there been any discussion about having more than one respondent chosen and then do it in tandem?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility, but I am expecting that there may be some teaming up of local contractors anyway, so I guess we'll just have to look at that when we get in the RFPs. But the way that we've structured it is basically a general, so all-inclusive, so it'd have to be, if they're going to go in as a joint, then it needs to be submitted that way.
Okay.
Which I do foresee some of that.
You know, one last question. At tomorrow's meeting, how many presentations are you expecting?
So we're not doing, it's not an interview panel, it's just a mandatory pre-bid to answer questions. So we're just going to do an overview of the project. I've slotted 2 hours because we actually have about a 3-page agenda just to make sure we've covered the project and everybody knows, you know, what we expect. So I think it should be pretty comprehensive, just getting the information out, but it'll just be gathering questions, and then we'll form an addendum with written answers for everybody.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Kim?
Thank you,
Kim. Next we're going to have an update on marketing outreach from Lindsay, including some media summary recent events.
So following up on some things I mentioned last month, we had the construction kickoff event, which we are going to delay for obvious reasons. We're probably going to push that to the first part of the next year just because we do want it to be a big family-friendly event, and we want the weather to be nice, and pushing it much further into this year, weather gets a little sketchy. So I'll keep you in the loop about any updates that we have for that. One thing we did this week is we did launch an early enrollment form on our website. Some of you have already filled that out, I see. So feel free to share that with anybody that you talk to in the community.
Facebook,
get it out there. Anyone who's really interested about knowing when services are available, you can sign up for our newsletter through it, and then once we are in neighborhoods and ready to subscribe, customers within those neighborhoods will reach out to them directly. So if they leave their address, their email, we can contact them, and that's the best way to kind of facilitate that in the meantime. Upcoming events that we have, we'll be attending the Business Appreciation Breakfast that Loveland puts on. That's on September 5th. We will be accepting an award at the 3CMA, the City County Communicators Award, on September 5th as well.
Where's that at?
That one is in Denver. And then Fort Collins, if you haven't heard already, The Connection is doing their launch party on August 29th at 5 p.m. at the Lincoln Center. They are asking that people RSVP for that, so if anybody's interested, let me know and I can shoot you the link.
Do you need people to represent at the business breakfast?
I think we're pretty covered this year. Yeah. So between staff.
The program's changed a little bit from how they're doing it in previous years, but we should be good. So you should be going.
I will be there.
Okay, good. So if anybody's interested in attending the Connection event, let me know. I can send you the link to RSVP for that, but it should be fun to support those guys up north.
Both of us.
Yeah. Yep, okay. I will do. Other than that, we're doing a giveaway on Facebook right now, so we're back to school promotion, so if anybody knows any
free
students,
internet for life.
No, not quite. Good try, though. So if anybody knows any students or community members who'd like
I've only signed up 50 times, so.
We can remove duplicates.
It's for young people.
Yeah, so please feel free to share that as well, but any questions about anything?
Do you want to be told about any groups, business groups, things like that that meet around town as far as
absolutely
sending someone to talk, tell them about it or
absolutely
anything? Or I didn't know if you were full up on stuff like that, so okay, I'll
nope
send.
Yeah, anytime. We're always accepting invites to businesses, to community groups, to organizations, HOAs, whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll send someone to go talk, or we can provide materials for newsletters, whatever that may be. We're happy to do that.
Okay. Your information? Or who?
Mine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
Or you can send them to Corrine either way,
yeah,
one way or the other.
Yeah,
way.
I can
okay
absolutely forward.
Okay.
Are you on the calendar for a lunch and learn at desk chair?
Not currently. So
might want to try and wedge into that.
They fell
because the marketing that they do is really thorough.
Yeah.
And that would be a good boost to get the word out.
Absolutely. We'll put that on the list.
Plus, I've always got coupons for lunches down there.
They do have a good lunch. They haven't stopped by.
Who doesn't want a free lunch?
Yeah.
Not free lunch. You always be able to get a discount.
Yeah.
This may be for you, it might be for Kim. Have you had any more discussions with Creator Space? About Training Lab?
We had some initial conversations with them. You
let
know,
me fill everybody in. Creator Space,
yeah,
everybody know what that is?
Yep.
Okay. They've offered to be involved in the early stages in setting up a techno lab environment for training people. They're just, you know, they don't know what this looks like,
mm-hmm,
but they would be willing to create space downtown for such a thing. So,
yeah, one of the things that Lindsay and I have had some ongoing conversations about are situations like this where there's some opportunity from marketing perspective or other promotional items that go along with these types of requests, and Lindsay has been creating some guidelines on, you know, when do these make sense and that kind of thing, so that we can have some sort of framework in which to view these upon as we go forward, so we're not we have a policy, essentially an internal policy. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely, we, you know, and it's one of those conversations that, especially, we can start having some initial conversations with them about some ideas, but until we have an idea about when, you know, construction planning,
sure,
we're still a little bit premature on those.
Well, I think it's important that we watch through the community, because I think, you know, Sentara would probably do the same thing. Anybody like that. Anytime we have somebody offering free space and free geeks, we need to take advantage.
So, John, this sounds like it's a collaborative effort for staff technician.
What they would think,
or what?
No, what they're
what,
thinking
what
is
which you see that.
I can only speak to Creator Space, but Creator Space was offering to, you know, dedicate a section of their front room and hold some, you know, live, you know, come and live and learn classes with people on how to truly use high speed internet. Because since we're wiring the whole town, every house, every business, we're going to be offering stuff to people that have literally never had it available before. So we may have some of our elder residents and other people wanting to get some computer training, and they're offering to
basic
do that as part of their outreach program.
Operate as like a demo site too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure. And this is going to operate a lot different than the legacy providers have been. It's going to be less closed and packaged and, you know, controlled from some dark room in the background. It's going to be, you're plugged in, boom, it's turned on. End users are going to need some tips, and they might need, you know, some
you know, a heads up of, you know, this is different. This is not what was being plugged in 25 years ago.
This is not very well
done. There you go.
You've got me.
You, I might know about AOL. Ralph might
know
about
AOL.
You don't know about AOL.
Oh, I had a stack. I had a stack of 3.5s like you would believe.
I was on
I still have some CDs or some 3.5-inch floppy disks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other
question I had, Lindsay, is are we keeping track of what our competition is doing preemptively?
Yeah.
Okay. Because one of a couple, three things that our Comcast brethren offer, you know, they have Norton Security for free, you know, whatever other bells and whistles they come up with between now and when we actually launch, I think we need to have a firm handle on those. And from my understanding, the Norton product, they don't pay much for it. It's a marketing co-branding thing, and they get it fairly well free. So Norton might just be perfectly happy to give it to you too.
Yes, I mean, there are a couple of different companies that provide that type of service through, it's not a white labeled, obviously, it's through a co-branding partnership, but it's a value add to
somebody out there would love to be your partner, I'm sure.
Yes, there are. And so it's more of the discussion about does that provide value? Is it something that we can add at that is adding to the package, or is it extra? I mean, those are all those types of conversations that Lindsay is having with
tend to be optional and not loaded onto your computer.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. You know, I mean, my house, I don't take part in that with my Comcast subscription, but others do. My dad does. So,
well, and you know when the co-branding stuff comes out, there's two sides to look at, okay? Is it an actual value in terms of a product?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the value of just having the logo on your website?
Also true.
There's there's two values there.
What's the
one is very intrinsic.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how many price drop phases have they already done from Comcast? Or?
It's been up and down.
I was going to say, I think you posted about it.
Yeah. So I've seen, periodically am checking, and I saw the gigabit service drop to $70, and then 2 days later it was back to $160.
I think it was a mistake, because I asked about it when they did it. I tried to sign up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, that must be a misprint on our website.
I think they're playing around with it, though, just to see who tanks.
Pretty similar to what they did in Longmont.
Yeah.
They're still sending out direct mail items all through town. They got this real cute little plastic-coated card. It
mm-hmm.
came out
oh,
on
yeah.
the weekend. Their radio advertising is unchanged, although at the end, the little rapid voice says, speeds in excess of 25 megabytes per minute are not guaranteed. Somewhere in the middle, they're still trying to lock in that, oh, we're protected as long as we state that, you know, 25 megabits is the standard. So
well,
I think it is just keeping the buzz rolling they're not forgotten.
I get mailers from them at least every week that are, you know, and I'm already signed up for their service, but because I have Wickham Group, my personal business also has my home address, I get stuff for Christina's photo studio and stuff for my personal business saying, you know, we see that you don't have Comcast service. And I'm like, mm-hmm.
We fully expect that to increase quite a bit as we get further down the road.
Yeah,
so.
They're definitely geolocating any LLC listing from the Secretary of State's office. And once they got it and it doesn't come back as undelivered mail, they just keep the cycle going.
Yeah, they definitely target business inside.
They just paved half my parking lot for free. And I'm not kidding. They made a mess when they put in their cable, and the pavement sunk when they did the underground. The pavement sunk, so they just replaced the whole thing. Because I told them they could not touch the building until such time as they fixed it. Here come the concrete guys.
Nice. Other questions for Lindsay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lindsay, do you want to?
Oh.
Yeah, what is this?
So they're just throwing each other when you guys.
This is what it looks like.
They're
clothes
bags.
Ah, oh, cool.
Reusable okay. shopping bags. That are
yes, reusable.
You may never need this shape again.
Farmer's market, you go too.
All right. Brings us to